I would say that we're going to talk about a few things today that are going to be kind of hard. And we certainly don't want to offend anybody, but we're not going to apologize for the gospel of our Lord and for His Word. So I think that if something's said that might offend, it might be a cause for self-examination. I want to ask you a question. In your mind, I want you to think about, is there some other place that you would rather be right now than sitting right here? Would you rather be relaxing? Would you rather be resting? Would you rather be enjoying a hobby of yours? Yeah, think about that, please, and answer that question in your mind. We're going to come back to it here in a while. We're going to talk a little bit this afternoon about the value of innocence. And we're going to talk a little bit about strongholds of the mind. Now, when I picture a stronghold, I picture something that was put into use back in biblical and medieval times of a strong fortress made of stone and iron. And this fortress was built to guard the king or the Lord and his people from harm. It was put in place to guard the treasures of those people. So let's keep that in mind as we begin to study the value of innocence. Well, going the wrong way. Jesus says in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So we're going to start off right off the top saying that we know God values innocence. And we know His Son valued innocence. You know, we take a few examples from the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 3, we read of Adam and Eve, how they heeded the words of Satan instead of obeying the Lord Father and partook of the fruit that was forbidden, and how God dealt with them, how He drove them out of Eden. And you think about it, they probably never even thought about how far that sin was going to take them and how long it was going to keep them, what the actual effect of that was. But we see that God drove them out of the garden because they had lost their innocence. In Genesis chapter 6, we read of Noah and the flood, how the earth was filled with wickedness. And what did the Lord do? He wiped away that wickedness with a flood. In Genesis chapters 18 and 19, we read of Lot and Sodom, how the city was filled with wickedness, and it was filled with sexual immorality, idol worship, and how the Lord destroyed it with fire. We read in 2 Kings chapter 17 about how Israel had come to find the Lord contemptible. You know, when they started out and left Egypt, the Lord established a law. And that law involved sacrifice. And that sacrifice that the Israelites offered was of their best. They offered their best cattle, their best sheep, the ones that were unblemished. That's what they offered. And they rolled back their sin year by year. But after several hundred years, These people had, their hearts had grown gross with iniquity. And they found the Lord detestable. And they offered things to the Lord that were not perfect. They were blemished. They were blind. They were three-legged. And basically what they were saying was, Lord, this is what you're going to take. Take it and like it. And what did the Lord do with that? He destroyed them. He dispersed them. They were defeated by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and Jerusalem fell. You know, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about the United States. Now, I heard this morning a prayer for this country. I heard one just now. Josh just prayed for our country. Now, when I was a young boy in elementary and junior high, and a lot of y'all can remember this, in public school, we prayed and we said the Pledge of Allegiance and sang the national anthem every single day before school started. I dare say you will not find a public school that does that anymore. And I've heard these prayers over the last 2 months offered almost every time a prayer is said, the main prayer is said at church. Dear God, please help this country return to you. And I got to studying on this, where it involves innocence. And I just looked at a few studies, and they're not church related. This is secular studies, polls. But did you know that as of 3 o'clock yesterday, there had been 323,056 abortions performed in this country this year? Since Roe versus Wade, there was 59 million abortions performed in this country. Now you tell me, does this country value innocence? It's a hard thing. You think about what our young people have to go through today, what they're subjected to, the peer pressures. You know, 58% of Americans approve of abortion today. 69% approve of sex out of wedlock. 63% say there's nothing morally wrong with homosexuality. 61% say that there's nothing wrong with getting drunk. We're not talking about taking a little wine for the stomach here. 61% say there's nothing wrong with getting drunk. I want to ask you a few questions about this, because, you know, this deal, this sexual immorality, it says that 81% of women that do this, and I've known four of them, say that they have severe mental problems, guilt problems. They're 50% more likely to commit suicide. They're 260% more likely to become dependent on some form of drug, illegal or legal. What about the homosexuality? You know, these are things we don't talk about a lot of times in church, but I don't think there's any better place to talk about them. If we can't talk about them here, where can we talk about them? You know, I got a dear, dear person that I grew up with, that took upon himself this form of life. I lived with him for a year and a half just here recently. And I'm telling you that he's got to take a pill to go to sleep at night. He's got to take a pill to get up in the morning. He's got to take a pill to keep him from getting too anxious, having anxiety attacks through the day. It's a sad thing. Study says that 50% of people that are engaged in homosexual activity are more likely to commit suicide. Yeah. I'm going to read a little bit in Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds. Reprobate minds. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The loss of innocence. I want to tell you something. God created us in His own image, and He made us wondrous. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. David says in Psalms 139 and 14, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God has given us life. He has given us a soul, a spirit, a body. He has given us free will. He has given us the ability to choose what we want to do. So, would you rather be somewhere else today? Or would you rather be here worshiping God, studying His Word? We're not robots. I want to speak a little bit about the way God has made us. Did you know that the latest study says that your brain, this is the average brain, so yours has probably got a little bit more than this, and mine's probably got a lot less, but can store 10 million gigabytes of information. That is equal to 30 million hours of TV or internet, or 3,000 years of straight watching it, straight taking it in. Now, we ain't going to live that long, but it shows you the power that God has given us in our minds. What I would like to ask is, what are we putting in those minds? That's what I want to ask. What do we spend the majority of that time looking at, feeding our brains with? Here's a litmus test that I always like to use on myself. I think you'll find it helpful. When you go home, see which has more dust on it, your TV remote or your Bible, your video game controller or your Bible, your gun or your Bible. What has more dust on it? That right there might tell you a lot more about yourself than you really want to know. We're told in Proverbs chapter 23 and 7, for as he thinking in his heart, so is he. What we think about, that's what we are. Talk about this stronghold issue. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, neither give place to the devil. The things we think about gives a place to the devil if they're wrong, if they're sinful. It gives him a foothold. I know, I've done it. I'd talk about a few things that, you know, we've got brothers and sisters in Christ that have let the devil set up strongholds in their mind. You know, they've dabbled in drugs. They've dabbled in filthiness, fornication. They've dabbled in pornography. You put those things in your brain. Think about the storage your brain has. Those things take root and a stronghold is built. The devil has built a stronghold in your mind. Very sobering thing. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart, their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Y'all heard of Billy Graham? Billy Graham was probably the most famous contemporary preacher in the United States. He graduated from a seminary school and had a piece of paper behind his name that gave him the authority to preach. They say that he preached to over 22.2 million people. And I know that those of you who are old enough to remember, you remember Billy Graham used to have big stadiums, football stadiums, and just filling these places with people, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people. And when he'd offer the gospel call, there would be hundreds, few thousand, come down to be saved. You know what? Billy Graham, even though he was baptized himself, said that baptism was not required for salvation. Now you think about all those people, all those thousands of people that came down to be saved by Billy Graham and those like him and said that sinner's prayer and believed that they were saved. That's a hard thing to think about. Because I'll tell you this, you will not find one place in the New Testament gospel church in the Bible that a person was not saved, that was saved without baptism, without being baptized for the remission of sins. You won't find it because it ain't in there. So what kind of stronghold was built in those people's minds? Because it don't matter what Billy Graham said about it or what he thought about it or what I think about it. This right here is the ultimate authority. This is the ultimate authority on salvation. This is the ultimate authority on truth. This is the Word of God. Prove all things, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good, report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Those strongholds we talked about, ain't but one way to get them out. Ain't but one way. Stronghold been built in your mind. You've never put on Christ. You've never been washed in His blood. That stronghold's going to stay there. You might add to it, might add a wing onto it, you know. It says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So how much do you think God values innocence? Take a look over there in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. God values innocence. So, I want you to think about that question we asked at the beginning. Would you rather be somewhere else? Somewhere more convenient, somewhere more comfortable. Sounds like a stronghold to me.